Good morning, 9 a.m. It's great to see you all. My name is JJ. I'm one of the ministers here at Northmead. Hope you all had a great holiday. Thank you, Edmonds, for reading that. You guys did an excellent job with that. Can I just give those to you? Thank you very much. Just get myself set up here. We're going to spend some time now together as a church, as a family, thinking about Psalm 19 together and what it teaches us about our great God, what it teaches us about ourselves, and what it teaches us about His Word to us in the Bible. So as we do, how about we quickly pray together, and then we'll have a look at Psalm 19. So let's talk to God. God, You are great and powerful and worthy of our praise, and we ask today that You would help us to understand what You have to say, that we might love Your Son all the more, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do keep your handouts open there in front of you. That's going to let you know what's happening. Make sure you have Psalm 19 open as we think together about what it teaches us about God. But I wonder if anybody here has ever truly experienced darkness. I mean that real darkness, when you're kind of out in the country, there's no street lights, there's no light pollution from the city. You can't even really see your hand, just pitch black darkness. Because when I was younger, my parents used to take me all the time to this dairy farm that our friends had. And one night my parents said, "You should see the night sky without any light pollution." I thought, well, that sounds like a great idea. So out we went into the paddock and Mum said, "Look up." And I looked up and I was a little disappointed because I was like, "It's all cloudy and I can't see anything." And then my mum pointed out, "That's not clouds you can see, but the Milky Way." And so here's a picture that I took that night. You can just bring it up on the screen. There you are. I was quite the photographer as a 10-year-old. But I wonder if you've ever had a similar experience when you've looked up at the stars and just thought, this is awesome. Do you know, scientists estimate there is about 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. And scientists estimate there is about 100 billion galaxies in our universe. That means scientists think there is about 10,000 billion stars in our universe altogether. Let me just put that a different way for you though. If we wanted to count all those stars that are in the universe and we got every single person on planet Earth right now to help us, who is alive, and we all counted at one star per second, it would take us 45,000 years to count all those stars. That's a lot of stars that God has created. And you know what? As Christians, we know those stars were made by God. Because when you know this, you begin to realize just how amazing this God is who made all those stars that just seem to go on and on and on. And as you look at Psalm 19, verse 1, because when you think about the stars, it's moments like that, when you see them, that you get what David is talking about there in verse 1. It's going to come up on the screen for you. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of His hands." David is saying, as you look up, you're meant to think to yourself, how incredible is the God who made this? As we look at the heavens that declare the glory of God, as we look at the sky, it preaches to us every single day about the God who shaped them. So verse 2 comes up. Day after day, it says, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge to us. And do you see what David is saying? Every day, this happens. It doesn't get old. There is a sermon being preached to you when you look at the stars. There is a sermon being preached to you right now as the sun beams down on our earth. And what we need to learn from this, there's one deep, important truth. And that is that God made us. God made the stars and God is powerful. But there is a limit, says David. You can't look up at the stars and then start to think about all the amazing things God has done. You can't look at the stars and go, well, now I understand the cross. Now I understand how Jesus rose from the dead. You can't look at the stars, said David, and figure out the fact that Jesus is going to return one day to judge the living and the dead. This is what he says in verse 3. He says, there is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. David is saying, they don't reveal everything there is to know about God. They help us know one wonderful, inescapable truth. And that is God made this creation. And it's absolutely awesome. That's the message that the stars preach to us. And they proclaim that message to everyone, he says there in verse 4. Their message has gone out to the whole earth. And their words to the ends of the earth. David's point is this. There is no one who has not seen the stars. There is no one who hasn't experienced the benefit of the sun. But then in verse 7, we actually see the limits of what creation can do for us. Because God has revealed enough about himself in creation that every single person on planet Earth is without excuse. They can know that there is a God. But David says to truly know God and his salvation, we actually need a greater revelation. We need his word. You know what? It's a bit like me showing you a picture of my family. Here's a picture of my family. It's really just an excuse to show you my cute kids. They'll be embarrassed at 10:45, but there they are. You can kind of know a little bit about my kids from this picture. You can see their hair color. You can kind of see their eyes and the kind of clothes they like to wear. But you can't figure out from this picture what their favorite subject is at school. Or what's their favorite food, or what they had for dinner last night, or where we went on holidays. You can't work that out from that picture alone. You need me to tell you things about my kids, or you need them to tell you about themselves to truly know who they are. And that's why this psalm switches in verse 7 from what we see in the stars and the sun, and now David talks about God's goodness. And I've got a small exercise that I'd like everybody to help me out with. So what I want you to do in your handout, draw a column that looks a bit like this one that's going to come up on the screen. And on one side, I want you to put the description of God's word. And then on the other side, I just want you to put what God's word does for us. So on one side, the description of God's word, and then on the other side, what God's word does for us. Now, if you don't get them all, don't stress, because I'll help you a little later on in the talk. But I'm going to read through verses 7 through to 9 and see if you can figure out what it's describing about God's word and what it does for us. So from verse 7, it says this about God's word. It says, "The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous." Now, I'm not sure if you got them all. We have to go through pretty fast so people don't get too bored. But as you have a look at that list, what does it say about God's word? Well, first of all, it says it's perfect. The Bible, this thing right here, it's not just very good, says David. It has everything we need to know about God and his salvation. And so what else does it say about God's word? Well, it says this thing is trustworthy and it's right and it's reliable and altogether good. David says you can completely depend on God's word. And then what does it do for us? Well, David says, you know what? It renews your life. As you read God's word, he says it literally revives your soul, is what he says there. It encourages us as God's people. It makes our heart glad as we read about God's promises, says David in this psalm. But it does one other thing. It says it takes people who are inexperienced. Literally, it says people who are simple. We don't like to think about ourselves that way, but it says people who are simple like us. And it takes us from being simple and not knowing anything about God or anything about ourselves or anything about this world. And it helps us to truly know the God who made us, to truly know who we are as people, and it helps us understand how to live as God's people in our world. That's what this psalm teaches us. That's what God's word does for us. And all this leads to verse 10. It says, God's word, his words to us, they are more desirable than gold, than the abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from honeycomb. I actually need some volunteers to help kind of make this point. So is there two people who haven't been up on stage today who can help me out? Now, you guys have all been on stage. I know, yeah. Do you want to come up the front? And maybe an adult to help us out, because we'll see how smart one of the adults are. Yeah, Matt Fisher, you look pretty smart. You got your glasses on? Okay, Matt, you're going to hold this the whole time. Now, you've got a bag. And what I want you to do, I want you to pull out a different object one at a time. Now, what's going to happen is, if you think the Bible is more precious, kind of hold up your left hand, because that's the side that Matt's on. And if you think, what's your name again? I've forgotten it. Josh. That is a good name. We share the same name. Josh. If everybody thinks what Josh is holding in his hand is more precious, hold up your right hand. So, Josh, you want to pull out the first object for us? What have you got in there? You got a few things. I'll open it up for you so you can get them out nice and easily. Okay, this is a pretty good one. This is a shield that I have that I keep in the office just in case I need it. It shoots Nerf bullets and stuff like that. And if you push the button there, it goes back so you can shoot them nice and easily. Yeah, it was a Father's Day gift. That's a true story. Now, which one's more valuable? If you think the Bible's more valuable or what Josh has got in his hand, put your left hand up for the Bible, put your right hand up for God's for Josh's theme. That's good. You are pretty smart. That was a nice, easy one. So let's put that one down, Josh. I wish I could give it to you, but I can't. What else have you got in there? Oh, that's my iPhone 11 Pro. That's a pretty good phone. Now, if you think the Bible is more precious and valuable, put your left hand up. If you think what Josh has got in his hand with the iPhone 11 Pro is more precious, put your right hand up. Let's see, everybody. Oh, I'm seeing some right hands. This is a little awkward.
That's not the Bible.
Yeah, it does have the app. But anyway, let's put that down, Josh. Being all technical on me there, Matt. Last thing. Which one's more valuable? Okay, he's got a fun-sized crunchy bar or the bite. Which one's more precious and more valuable? Some people are saying the chocolate. I'll talk to your parents about that afterwards. But you know what? If you can have that, actually. I can't give you my phone. I'll have to keep that one. And my kids will kill me if I give you this. So thanks, guys. You want to sit down? I'll grab the Bible from you. You know what? I think as Christians, we know for a fact that this book here is actually the most precious thing that we own. This book is more valuable than anything that you own. It's more valuable than your car. It's more valuable than your house. It's more valuable than your laptop. We know that as Christians. But do we believe it and do we live it out? That's my challenge for you as we start this year together. Do we believe that this book right here is the most valuable thing God has given us in our lives? Because if you believe it, then we will devote ourselves to it. We'll devote ourselves as a church to reading it. Here every Sunday, in our kids' programs and in our youth programs, in our families together, we will read it as individuals because God has given us his precious word. But there is one last thing that this psalm teaches us. One last thing. In addition, says David, in verse 11, your servant is warned by them. God's word always points out our sin and our need for forgiveness. And that's what David sees in this psalm. Who here has ever heard, knows what a black light is? Who's ever seen a black light before? Let me just put this slide up for you. Just want to put the picture up. Those hands look really clean, right? They don't look very dirty or bad at all. There's this special black light that you can expose your hands to, and it shows you all the germ and all the muck and all the bacteria that you can't usually see with your eyes. So let's have a look at what happens when you put those. That's pretty gross. I'm not sure you can see that, but all that kind of different color stuff, that's all the germs that's usually on your hands day after day. So if you're not a germaphobe now, you will be when you think about that every single day. But you know what? God's word does the same thing for our lives. and our hearts. God's word is like a black light on our hearts, and it reveals our sin. See, David started the psalm by saying how awesome God is with the stars that he made, how wonderful God's word is that he gives to us. But as he reads God's word, he is convicted, David is, of his own sin and God's help that he needs to live for him. So verse 12, David says this about his sin. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. See, David says God's word shows us just how much sin has affected us as people. You see, sin in our hearts is like a disease. And when Jesus talks about it, he says all those wrong things that you do as people, when you lie, when you don't listen to your mum and dad, and I know that because I've got kids, and I didn't listen to my mum and dad when I was a kid. When you do the wrong thing, or you're not kind to your friends, or you say mean words, or you think wrong things, David says all those come from a heart that is out of step with God. The reality is sometimes, David says, we do sins that we don't even know we're doing. Because sin corrupts every part of a person. But David says, the more you come to trust Jesus and understand God's word, the more you become aware of the sin that is already there. But you know what? As Christians, this shouldn't make you really sad. Instead, knowing how sinful you are helps you as a Christian realize how great God's salvation is in Jesus Christ. And so then David says, you know, cleanse me from my hidden sin. He asked God to do that. And what David asked God for and looked forward to, we as Christians, this side of the cross, know for certain. God has indeed forgiven us once and for all because our great King Jesus has defeated sin and death on the cross. What David looked forward to, we know for certain. But David says we still need God's help to live for him. And so he finishes, I think, with a prayer that we should make our prayer here at Northmead this year. This is what he says in verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What a great prayer. That we as God's people would have words that are acceptable to him. But even more important, that our hearts and our true self would be acceptable to him, because that's where our words begin. So how about we make that our prayer this year, that we would have pleasing words to God and hearts that please him with everything that we are. And I'm going to pray that we would do that right now. Let's talk to God. Let's make this prayer our prayer for this year. God, may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.